This is a Scoop Audio interview with Mick Kelly of the Whangamata Marina Society. Mick, have you been involved right from the start in this marina business?
Yes, I have. We started in 1992, and I've been the president of the society since it was first incorporated in that year.
And what exactly is the idea? It's a marina so people can come and park their boats. That's basically it, isn't it?
Well, pretty much. It's a marina of about 200 berths. It's a community initiative. I mean, people keep describing us as developers and or a group of developers. In fact, we're a community-based group. All our committee are local residents and long-term local residents, and most of them are boat owners in the harbour.
Right. Is it a not-for-profit sort of a thing then?
Yeah, that's right. We provide the berth to the members of the society at cost.
Oh, okay. So you can't just trundle your boat up and it wouldn't be free, though?
Oh, no. I mean, to get a berth, you have to be a member of the society, and we've been sold out for some time. We've got about another 100 on the waiting list coming in behind those 200, and some of those people have put up some risk money to help us through the process, and some haven't. And but you know, if you want to get a berth, you've got to be on that list.
Right, and why was it necessary? The minister seemed to take exception to the car park. Why was it necessary to have a car park as well as like the marina? Is that so you can park your boat, I guess?
No, you've got to drive to the marina with all your gear that you want to take out fishing, and you need somewhere to park your car.
Oh, okay. And the other thing is, in the early days, docks seemed to have a bit of a problem that you weren't willing to mitigate the displacement of the wildlife. Like, you know, you weren't willing to chuck enough cash at fixing the habitat of birds. Would that be correct?
Well, they were opposed to the proposal at the first hearing, and they appealed the council decision. But we went to them and said, look, you know, let's see what your concerns are, see how we can address them. And we arrived at a series of changes to the conditions and an agreement to fund a dockerel breeding program, an agreement to mitigate for the loss of the salt marsh area, and a number of other measures. And they agreed with all those. They told us that those measures addressed all their concerns, and we signed an agreement.
Okay, but they were concerned that they seemed to think you were being a bit stingy. What was that about? We not put enough money into saving birds?
Oh, I don't remember that in particular. It was we hadn't sort of done any negotiation with them at all before the hearing decision came out.
Right. And what was the disturbance to the surf that the surfers were up in arms about?
There's a lot of misinformation going on. There's a group of surfers who have been putting it about that we're going to dredge the harbour entrance and even out through the surf bar, which is not correct. Our nearest dredging to the harbour entrance is about 1,000 metres away. And then they also got concerned because there was an episode just recently in Spain where a surf bar was temporarily disturbed by some river dredging. But in that, it's quite a different situation. In that case, the dredgings were actually put right beside the river, and they blocked it up and forced a new channel through. Now, that couldn't possibly happen in this case. The entrance is much more stable than that. For a new channel to go through the same way as it did in Spain, it would have to cut through a tarsier road, a car park, some built-up areas, and through the sand dunes and out to sea. So,
yeah, I'm not a surfer myself, but I did hear some concern about the Spain incident.
Yeah, well, that's basically it. But we're a totally different situation to what happened there.
Okay, and the other thing I just wanted to chat about, would it be private property then? Would anyone be able to wander onto the marina with their fishing rod?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's public access is maintained. There will be areas where boats are being worked on or secure storage for trailer boats that will probably be closed away from public access. But by far the bulk of it, and the car park will be available for public parking. There will be public access on a landscape walkway right around the foreshore, and at least during daylight hours, people are very welcome to walk along the pontoons and look at the boats. In fact, the public access to the foreshore and seabed will be much easier than it is now. At the moment, it's a mangrove forest, and it's a struggle to get into it.
And since this blew up, how have you been treated in the media so far there, Mick?
Well, in some respects fairly, but in other respects not. I think I'd be much happier if people would actually come and look at it and just see what the effects are going to be instead of speculating on what they've heard from other people.
Okay, and just a final question. I think I was chatting to you yesterday, but people can't actually see it, which is a bit of a problem, because you haven't got a visual illustration of what it would look like. Is that correct?
Well, we have, but it's not. It's so long ago since we started going through the process that, you know, we had public displays up originally, but, you know, that was sort of 12 years ago. And, you know, having been going through the court process since then, it's sort of gone onto the back burner a bit, but I can see there is a need for us to get perhaps more information out into the public in Whangamata.
Start whittling with your little matches, making a model or something.
Yeah. Well, I think you can do a lot just with illustrations.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for chatting there, Mick.
Okay, Kevin.
See ya.
Okay, bye.